May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As we read from Mark's Gospel this year, we have a feast of Jesus' teachings, probably dictated by Mark, to Mark, by the Apostle Peter, but certainly coming from Peter anyway. That's his gospel in a way. This little gospel forms the basis for a lot of the material recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, which contain whole sections of Mark's gospel. So the first eight chapters, as we've heard over the last few weeks, unpack who Jesus is. He's the Messiah, he's the anointed king, the Christ. And they tell about the nature and importance of the kingdom. And then in chapter 8 comes the exam. You know, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter gets top marks. He passes the exam. He says, you are the Christ. Right, Peter, that's absolutely correct. And then Jesus moves into teaching what type of Messiah he was. One who would suffer and die to establish God's kingdom. One who would rise from the dead to lead it. And that's what Mark 8 to 16 is about. And we'll cover that later in the year. But the core area of teaching in today's reading is on the kingdom of God. See, Jesus taught the principles of the kingdom mostly using parables. He tells us that he didn't use parables to make it easy to understand, but to ensure that it was accessible to those who recognised who he was, the King of the kingdom, and who turned to him for the proper reason of faith. His method of using parables doesn't exclude anyone, but it does aim not to give people the wrong motive for following him. So Jesus has a particular approach to teaching about the kingdom of God. So his parables give us the basic principles of the kingdom, the foundational facts. It's God's kingdom. It's an immense worth. It's a pearl of great price, a treasure in a field. It's a flock where the shepherd looks for the lost sheep, or a family where the father welcomes back the wayward son. And then privately, Jesus teaches his disciples about the application of the principles. So we get some insights where that teaching is recorded for us, like in the parable of the sower, where Jesus teaches the disciples about the various soils that greet the sown seed, which is the word of the gospel. So in today's reading, Mark says that with many parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they, that's the crowd, could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. It's a great little principle of teaching that Jesus had. So the disciples, with the principles and the application taught by Jesus, are then tasked with teaching how the kingdom actually functions. He sent out his disciples on a training exercise, and Jesus also sent out another 70 on another occasion to learn firsthand how all this kingdom stuff works. Then as he prepared to ascend back to heaven, to the Father, Jesus charges them, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And that raises up our role, doesn't it? Our role in the 21st century is to apply kingdom principles to our everyday world, to understand how the kingdom works in our lives day by day. And this teaching is fundamental because, as Mark shows, it comes from the king himself. A bishop once said to me, "Bob, in many places, being in the Anglican Church for 8 years is like being in the Anglican Church 1 year 8 times. And I mulled over that quite a bit. I think the kingdom parables are an example about how that can happen. We learn what Jesus taught about the principles, and a little of what he taught about how the principles actually function. But sometimes we should consider what the disciples then taught about the application of the principles to life. And that's great when we do that. We're often a bit wary of that role in applying the kingdom principles to our everyday world, to understanding how it works as in our lives day by day. But it actually isn't difficult to understand, but it can be challenging to teach it. I know that from preaching, and it can be challenging to do it because most of us have a worldview which is not a kingdom view. So we can be so locked into the world, into what the media tells us to think about, and into what the community thinks is important, that it's difficult to break out and connect with Jesus the King, to recognise and embrace and live in his kingdom, which is all around us, and over which Jesus is still the messianic king and still the leader. He lives and he's still active and he's still powerful. So let's look at the principles Jesus teaches us today in these two short parables. The first one, the kingdom of God is like a man who plants a crop and it grows. It grows continuously, whether he can see it or not, whether he is asleep or whether he's awake. The kingdom of God continuously grows, and there will ultimately be a harvest, something that's not possible if the crop hasn't actually grown. The point here is not that it might be growing or that it's stunted or neglected by the gardener king, or that it's suffering severely from lack of nutrients or necessities. The kingdom is growing towards the day of harvest, whether we recognise it or not. That's the parable about the kingdom. What about the second parable, short parable today? It's a picture of something which starts small, a tiny seed, a little bit like a broken figure on a cross, small, powerless, weak, and unimpressive, or so it seems. But this figure on the cross was the Lion of Judah, the King of Heaven, and his kingdom is growing all the time. And this parable tells us that the kingdom is huge. There is nothing we can compare with it. The tiny seed is his gospel word, which when planted grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. A small seed grows continuously, becomes huge, or in the other parable has such vibrant growth that it produces a harvestable crop. So what's confusing about that? How hard is that to grasp? It's huge and it's growing all the time to a harvestable crop. Well, I'll tell you what's difficult about it. Recognising God's kingdom when we live in a world which has war and strife all around us. Although the king told us to expect wars and rumours of wars. I'll tell you what's difficult about it. Recognising the kingdom when there are cost of living pressures pushing people into poverty, or when we have an unacceptable welfare gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. Although the King told us that you'll have the poor with you always. I'll tell you something else that's difficult. Recognising the kingdom when family domestic violence is increasing and community violence is shocking, or racism is a blight on our nation, or our kids are besotted with and controlled by social media. But my friends, if we take our attention from these just for a moment, despite the world telling us that these are what are important, and we focus on the kingdom of God and of the King who is in charge, we can see that while all this is happening, there is also hope and joy and forgiveness going on. There is also victory in the face of suffering. There are stories of divine intervention, and there's lots of evidence of godly support for those in need. Jesus is single-handedly managing world history, simultaneously preparing the universe for our future. That's a big saying. But that's what's happening in the kingdom. It's a huge crop-producing kingdom. When we study the stories of divine intervention, we see the kingdom of God in action. We also see kingdom solutions to the world's problems. The world may not want to engage with the king. They may not want to engage with the principles of living which reflect the king's character. But they're there and they're real. Our gift to the world is to embrace them and live them. Live out these principles. And the world will be better for it if we do. We're ambassadors of the King. We are a kingdom people living by kingdom principles. We're told in Scripture that we have a ministry of reconciliation, because the kingdom reflects the very nature and character of the King. And our mission as his ambassadors is to link people and issues, to link them up with the King and his solutions. Jesus taught us the way to begin dealing with poverty. Don't worry about what you will eat or wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. Connect with the King and his kingdom. Do that as first, and then all the other things that are needed will be supplied along the way. Kingdom principle. We rush to the practical too quickly. If Israel and Gaza do what the King taught, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, their sad, brutal, and vicious war would halt, or better still, never have started. The missionaries in Hermannsburg in the Northern Territory protected the children from being removed from their families. And the Aboriginals at Hermannsburg will tell you that there is no stolen generation there. See, where the kingdom of God is visible and in action and the King is honoured, the world is a different place. Don't let the worries of the world or the pressures of life squeeze out or stunt the kingdom growth in us. Don't let the world stop us being part of this huge tree or the fruitful crop. Recognise the kingdom principles doing that helps us not to despair about the world. We can learn the principles. Jesus taught them. They're easy to learn. We can understand how they work. Jesus taught that too through his disciples. We can apply them in our lives because the Bible is full of how to do that. The field is white for the harvest. Jesus still is king. We are part of something huge and still growing. When we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," I hope that we mean it as in this church. And of all the prayers we know God answers, this is the one. Because the King taught it to us, and the King told us to pray like this. I want to commend the kingdom principles to you, and the kingdom principles being applied in life are life-changing for each of us and for the world we live in. Amen.